وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه، أما بعد، إن شاء الله تعالى we're going to have classes from the رسالة أحاديث عشر ذي الحجة وأيام التشريق أحكام وآداب للمؤلف الشيخ عبد الله بن صالح الفوزان. This is about 10 hadith relate to the 10th of the Hijjah, the first 10 days of the month of the Hijjah, and also Ayam al-Tashriq, the 3 days after the Eid. Ahkam wa-adab as for relate to the rules and etiquettes. First hadith, Fadlu al-Ashri والعمل الصالح فيها. فضل العشر والعمل الصالح فيها. The virtue of the 10 means the first 10 days of the month of the Hijjah, and the righteous actions during it. And the righteous actions in it means in those 10 days. These 10 days are very special and very valuable because they are the best days of the year, even better than the days of Ramadan. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, collected by Imam Bukhari and others, that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيهن أحب إلى الله منه في هذه الأيام العشر. ما من أيام there are no days العمل الصالح فيهن the righteous deeds in it أحب إلى الله is more beloved to Allah منه to him في هذه الأيام من العمل from the action in these 10 days. So there are no days that the righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. When Allah loves subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the righteous deeds the most in the year is these 10 days. The 10 days, first 10 days of the month of the Hijjah. The Sahaba knew the status of jihad fi sabilillah, and that it is the top of al-Islam, وذروة سنام الإسلام. Therefore they said, قالوا ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله. They say, even making jihad in the cause of Allah. He sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, قالوا ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله. Even making jihad in the cause of Allah. إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله فلم يرجع من ذلك بشيء. Except a man who go out with his life, with his soul and wealth, and doesn't return with anything, doesn't come back. So he goes fi sabilillah for the sake of Allah, and he fight in that cause, and he is killed in that path. Only that person is the one who did good deeds, righteous deeds, comparable to what the righteous deed is done by the believer in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah Shaykh Abdullah said, الحديث دليل على فضل أيام العشر ذي الحجة على غيرها من أيام السنة لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شهد بأنها أفضل أيام الدنيا. ولأنه حث على العمل فيها على العمل الصالح فيها. The hadith shows the virtue of the 10 days of the Hijjah over the rest days of the year, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessed that it is the best days of the dunya, that these days are the best days, ayyam ad-dunya, of the days of the worldly life. And because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged to do the righteous deeds in it. وفيه دليل على أن كل عمل صالح في هذه الأيام فهو أحب إلى الله تعالى منه في غيرها. وهذا يدل على فضل العمل الصالح فيها وكثرة ثوابه، وأن جميع الأعمال الصالحة تضاعف في العشر من غير استثناء شيء منها. The Sheikh said also in the hadith that every righteous deed in these days is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the righteous deeds in the other times. And this shows also the virtue of the righteous deeds in these 10 days and the great, the abundance reward of it. And that also all the righteous deeds are multiplied without exception, any of it. So the reward of the righteous deeds are multiplied in these first 10 days without من غير استثناء شيء منها, without exception in any of it. So any good deeds, without exception, the reward is multiplied, the reward is more in these 10 days than the rest of the days of the year. Here is a question. ما هو العمل الصالح? What is the good deeds? What is the good deeds? The salah. Praying. Fasting. Naam. All forms, ahsanta, all forms of ibadah, of act of worship, the obligations. العمل الصالح هو الذي توفر فيه شرطا قبول العمل. The righteous deed is the one, the two conditions of accepting the action is fulfilled. Any action, that the two conditions of the acceptance of the deeds are fulfilled, is a righteous action. What are the two conditions in order to accept the action? Al-ikhlas wal-mutaba ahsanta, is to do the act of worship solely for Allah. No showing off, not seeking name or famousness, nothing, but solely for the sake of Allah. What's the other condition? Al-mutaba'ah, to do it according to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-ikhlas, sincerity, doing it for the sake of Allah, al-mutaba'ah, and doing it according to the way the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Whether it's fasting or hajj or sadaqah or reciting Quran or dhikr or da'wah, any act of worship should be done for the sake of Allah and should be done according to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here there is negation in two things. What are they? When you say al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'ah, this affirmation, sincerity and following. What's the negation? There is no shirk and there is no innovation. No shirk and no innovation. The proof of ikhlas and mutaba'ah, what it is? The proof of ikhlas, what it is? Any ayah or any hadith showing that there has to be ikhlas. Action should be done only for the sake of Allah. La ilaha illallah. Kalimat tawheed. La ilaha illallah. There is nothing worth of worship other than Allah. So any act of worship, it should be for Allah. Ahsant. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So ikhlas, the proof of ikhlas is la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. There is no true God other than Allah. Nothing is worth of worship other than Allah. So any act of worship should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for the saint or for Jesus or for Tijani or Virjailani or for an object, for an idol, for stars, for creation. It should be for the creator only. How about the proof of mutaba'ah, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes? Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam is the messenger of Allah. So the action should be according to the message of the messenger. It should be according to the message of the messenger. So any act of worship which is not according to the message of Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it will not be accepted. So la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. As for hadith, hadith al-Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه. حديث القدسي صحيح مسلم. الله عز وجل said, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك من عمل عملا. Whoever does an action, any action, أشرك فيه معي غيري, who associate me with anyone in that action, he associates someone else with me in the action, he set a partner for me with someone in that action, taraktuhu wa shirkahu, I leave him and his shirk. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in this hadith, in this speech, his hadith al-Qudsi, his speech of Allah, that anyone who does an action that he makes someone share it with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disregard that person, leave that one and his action. This is about ikhlas or mutaba'ah. Yes? Ikhlas, sincerity. Someone, one time, he make ikhlas, he pray to Allah. Oh Allah, give me health. Oh Allah, give me life. Allah give me so and so. This is ikhlas. Another time, he commits shirk. Oh Jesus, give me this. Oh Prophet Isa. Oh Prophet Muhammad. Oh Tijani. Oh such saint. He asked the same, what he was doing for Allah, he's doing for someone else. One time he prayed for Allah, and one time he prayed to show off. Allah is not going to accept that ibadah. Ibadah should be purely for Allah. And another hadith about the mutaba'ah, in hadith Muslim, hadith Aisha, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fawarad. Anyone who does an action that there is no our command, our order on it, will have it rejected. Any action that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't order it, he will have it rejected. So you have hadith al-Quds about the ikhlas, and you have hadith al-Nabawi about mutaba'ah. And before that you have shahadatayn, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So any act of worship should only be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore in the grave, we will be asked about the ikhlas, man rabbuk, we'll be asked about mutaba'ah, wa man nabiyuk, who is your prophet, about the religion, wa ma dinuk, what's your religion. So this is a good, righteous action. So anyone who do good deeds that Allah legislated, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform it, but he doesn't do for the sake of Allah, Allah will not accept it from him. or he does good deeds that Allah legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does good intention. He does the action for the sake of Allah, but he doesn't do it according to the sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will have it rejected. Do we remember the man who entered the masjid at the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he prayed two rak'ah after he finished salah? He come to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he greet him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned the greeting and he said something to him. Remember what he said to him? Na'am irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray because you didn't pray. What was his problem? What was the mistake? Al-mutaba'ah, following. He was praying faster. Somebody has to take time, tranquility. So this is the essential, this is very important. Ikhlas al-mutaba'ah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Tayyib. So any action with these two criteria, with these two qualities, with ikhlas and mutaba'ah, with sincerity and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in it, is the righteous action. Without exception, Allah loves that action in these 10 days more than He loves in any other 10 days, even in the days of Ramadan, the nights of Ramadan, except the night of Qadr. In another hadith, وعن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما من عمل أزكى عند الله عز وجل ولا أعظم أجرا من خير يعمله في عشر الأضحى. ما من عمل أزكى عند الله عز وجل ولا أعظم أجرا من خير يعمله أي الإنسان في عشر الأضحى. قيل والجهاد في سبيل الله, قال والجهاد في سبيل الله عز وجل, إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله فلم يرجع من ذلك بشيء. رواه الدارمي بإسناد حسن. The Shaykh said, إن إدراك هذه العشرة, إن إدراك هذه العشر نعمة عظيمة من نعم الله تعالى على عبده, لأنه يدرك موسما من مواسم الطاعة التي تكون عونا للمسلم بتوفيق الله على تحصيل الثواب واغتنام الأجر. فعلى المسلم أن يستشعر هذه النعمة ويستحضر عظم أجر العمل فيها ويغتنم الأوقات, وأن يظهر لهذه العشر مزية على غيرها بمزيد الطاعة. وهذا شأن سلف هذه الأمة, كما قال أبو عثمان النهدي رحمه الله, كانوا يعظمون ثلاث عشرات, العشر الأخير من رمضان, والعشر الأول من ذي الحجة, والعشر الأول من المحرم. The Shaykh said, reaching out these 10 days is a great blessing and favor from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His worshipper. Because by this blessing, the person reach out one of the mawsiman min mawasim al-ta'a. What's mawsim in English? Mawsiman, لأنه يدرك موسما من مواسم الطاعة. Yes. لأنه يدرك موسما من مواسم الطاعة. Who is helping me? Actually helping all of us. Because whatever you tell me, I share with others, inshallah. طيب. موسم. نعم. Season. أحسنت. بارك الله فيك. بارك. That's all. Because the person, by this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reaches one of the seasons of the obedience of Allah. That which is going to be aid for the person, for the Muslim, by the success of Allah, on the achievement of reward, and also getting ajr. Therefore, upon the Muslim to feel this favor, and to remember the greatness of doing the righteous deeds in it. And we should get advantage from the time. And he should act in these 10 days with extra ibadah, obedience, than he does in the rest of the year. And this is the way of the Salaf, the Salaf Hadi al-Ummah. As Abu Uthman al-Nahdi that great scholar rahimahullah ta'ala said, they used to magnify three tens, the last ten of the Ramadan, the first ten of the Hijjah, and the first ten of Muharram. The last ten of Ramadan, it's known. All Muslims know that. Alhamdulillah. All Muslims know the importance of the month of Ramadan, especially last ten. They know it. And the first ten of the Hijjah. This is what many Muslims do not know it. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said that many Muslims don't know it, that these days, the 10 days of the Hijjah, are more important than last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. He said, but the layman, general Muslim, they don't know that. Also, the al-ashr al-awwal min al-muharram, the first 10 days of Muharram. Afdalu siyam ba'da Ramadan, siyamu shahri Allahi, al-muharram, the best fasting. After the fasting, the month of Ramadan is the month of Muharram, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. At the end of this month is the month starting. This month is Dhul Hijjah. What is today? Tonight is Dhul Hijjah is what? Second. When this month ends, then you have Muharram. Hajj activity is going to be from what day to what day? The Hajj actions, the Muhajjaj who are performing Hajj. When do they start the actions of Hajj? The 8th of this month, after 6 days. The 8th. When do they complete? Some of you say 10, some of them say 11, some of them say 12, some of them say 13. Someone say 14? 13th. So it starts the 8th and it ends the 13th. And someone can end the 12th with the condition he finished the actions before the sunset in the 12th day. So 8 to 13, how many days? Some of you 6, some of you 5. Na'am. Yes? The 8th, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, then 13th. So that's 6 days. The action of Hajj, 6 days. And the necessity, how many? Necessity, you have to, this. Some of you say 5. Others say 2. Others say 3 or 4. 3 or 4. It is the day of Arafah. There has to be day of Arafah. The day of Arafah can be the night. Somebody comes at night, yes, still. Even though the best is the day and the night of Arafah to be there. But even if he comes sometime in the night, still he makes that day, which is the day of Eid also. So the one day, the day of Arafah, you can say either day of Arafah, the day of Eid, the second, and the third. 4 days or 3 days, the least. The day of Eid, which he has to, but he has to be the night in Arafah. He has to be the night of Arafah, otherwise no Hajj. Al-Hajj Arafah. So sometime from the night he has to be in Arafah. And if he is, because the day, the night goes before the day. So the night of Arafah is also the day of Eid. It's the night of Eid. I confuse you? No. So because in Islam, the night is before the day. So tomorrow when is Eid? Tonight is there Ramadan? Is there Taraweeh tonight? No. If there is Taraweeh tonight, tomorrow there has to be fasting. So the night is before the day. So the night of Arafah, which is called the night of Eid, it's actually the night of Arafah. Al-Muhim. So after the Hijjah ends, you have Muharram. The Shaykh said, Abu Nahdi, rahimahullah, Uthman al-Nahdi, the Salaf, means they used to magnify and honor three tens. The last 10 of Ramadan, the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah, and the first 10 of Muharram. First 10 of Muharram because that authentic hadith that the fasting, the best fasting after Ramadan is the month of Muharram. Plus there is the day of Mada Ashura, which is equal to 1 year of forgiveness. And also the 9th is recommended more. Then the Shaykh said, وَفِي الْعَشْرِ أَعْمَالٌ فَاضِلَةٌ وَطَاعَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ الْإِكْثَارُ مِنْ نَوَافِلِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ وَسَائِرِ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ كَبِّرِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَصِلَةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَالتَّوْبَةِ النَّصُوحِ وَحُسْنِ الْإِنَابَةِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. He said in the tenth, that means the first 10 days of the Hijjah, there are good deeds. There are noble actions. And a lot of act of worship. From that, the Shaykh said, number one, al-iktharu min nawafil salah, abundance, making more and many of the sunnah prayers, let alone the mandatory sunnah prayers. At least sunnah rawatib, the 12 rak'ah of ratiba. 2 rak'ah before fajr, 4 rak'ah before dhuhr, 2 rak'ah after dhuhr, 2 rak'ah after Maghrib, 2 rak'ah after Isha. At least these 12 days, or more other sunnah, like tahajjud, whatever, salat duha. Shaykh said also sadaqah, charity, especially if there is zakah. Wasail al-a'mal al-saliha. The rest of the righteous deeds. Kabir al-walidain, like being good and respect and nice to the parents. Silat al-arham, maintaining the ties of kinship. Take care of the relative. Wa tawbat al-nasuh, sincere repentance. Wa husn al-inaba, and good returning to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the like of that. Number two, al-ikthar min dhikri Allahi ta'ala wa takbiri wa tilawati kitabihi. Making more dhikr of Allah, and making more takbir, and reciting his book, Allah's book Azza wa Jal. Third, asiyam. فإن صيام تسع ذي الحجة وإن لم يثبت فيها دليل بخصوص في العشر لكنه من أفضل الأعمال الصالحة التي حث عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيكون استحباب صومها مستفادا من عموم الأدلة. Third is fasting. These 9 days of the Hijjah, not the Eid day. The Shaykh said, for indeed fasting the 9th day of the Hijjah, even though there is no specific proof for that, means for fasting, for the first 9 days of the Hijjah, the Shaykh said, but it is from the best of the actions which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged to do it. So, the permissibility, rather the encouragement, and it's recommended, fasting these 9 days is taken from the general adilla, general proofs, showing that the righteous leaders are legislated rather more beloved to Allah than any other time. So the Shaykh say fasting. And some ulama, they say, even fasting, it is authentic. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fasts the 9 days of the Hijjah. He fasts the 9 days of the Hijjah. He fasts because authentic hadith. Shaykh Al-Ban authenticated that hadith. One of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast the 9 days of the Hijjah, the 3 days of the month, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Thursdays and Mondays, Mondays and Thursdays. So that's authentic. Some scholars like this Sheikh Fawzan, they say, that narration is weak, but others, like Shaykh Al-Bani said, is authentic. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fasts 9 days. And what makes them, this ulama is not authentic, is because of other hadith in Sahih Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never fasts the 9 days of the Hijjah. But some ulama, they say, no, Ummul Mumin radiallahu anha, Aisha, she talked about what she knew. And the other Sahabiya, the wife of the Prophet, she talked about what she saw. also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fasted the day of Arafah. Didn't he? Did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fast the day of Arafah? Or he didn't fast? He fast. And he said, if he is alive next year, what's he going to do? He will fast the 9th and the 10th. That's Muharram. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Oh, I mix it with Muharram. Afwan. La hawla la quwwata. Wahim. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mentioned that he is expecting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fasting the day of Arafah 2 years of forgiveness. So whether he did it into action or he did it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that he expected from Allah for fasting the day of Arafah 2 days of forgiveness. Also, the ulama, they say, even if it is authentic, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't fast the 9 days of the Hijjah. What's authentic is what he called people to, including this hadith. He called the Muslims to do righteous deeds in these 10 days. And we know fasting is from righteous deeds. Is there any question on that? That fasting is from righteous deeds? No question. So this is what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed. He addressed the ummah. And his statement take precedence over his action. Because he may leave not fasting. He may leave fasting for reasons. To show it's not mandatory on the ummah. He may be sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveling. He may be sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything may happen. But as for the actions, as for the statement, it is to the ummah. Therefore, the ulama, they say, if there is contradiction, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his action, then his action is to him alayhi salatu wasalam. It's specific to him. Al-Muhim. So, even the sheikh who is from those who don't see that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fasted 9 days into action, he see, but the he sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged to do righteous deeds in the 10 days of the Hijjah, and fasting is from that, without a question. Fourth, Al-Hajj wal-Umrah tuwahuma min afdal al-A'mal kama sayati inshallah. The Hajj, performing Hajj and Umrah, and Hajj and Umrah are the best, are from the best of actions. Number five, Al-Hirsu ala al-Udhiyati wa adami tahawuni fiha li'idami ajriha inda Allah Ta'ala. Here the Shaykh talk about the udhiyah, slaughtering, sacrificing, and not to take it light, not to take it simple. Because li'ilami ajriha inda Allah Ta'ala, because of it is great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ayqidna min raqadati al-ghaflati wa waffiqna lil-isti'dadi qabla nuqlati. وارزقنا اغتنام الزمان وقت المهلة والهمنا الاستفادة من مواسم الخيرات وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. So these are some of the righteous actions legislated in these 10 days. Making sunnah prayers, giving sadaqah, being good to the parent, maintaining ties of kinship, turning repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making a lot of remembrance of Allah, reciting the Quran, fasting, making hajj, making umrah, slaughtering. All these are actions mada legislated in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Except the day of Eid, no fasting. Which one is good? A Muslimah or even someone else, anybody, a Muslim, to make up fasting the days of Ramadan in these 9 days, or to fast, optional fasting. Which one is better for the person? Which one he get bigger reward? Question is not clear? someone, he missed some days from Ramadan, or he make a vow, or there is fasting, expiation, kafarat of fasting. So he must fast. Which one is better, to fast these 9 days, optional fasting? Okay? Because Allah loves the righteous deeds. Or to make up those and to fulfill, either to make up Ramadan or any missing day of fasting, or to fulfill the mandatory of fasting like vow. Which one is better? Ahsanta, barakallahu fik. This is the rule. Fasting Ramadan, making up Ramadan, and fulfilling the vow, and the like of that. Somebody who in the last Ramadan, he intentionally had relationship, sexual relationship with his wife, he has to mada, what he has to do? He has to free a slave if he's not able. He has to fast 2 months consecutive. So that's a mandatory fasting. Someone who killed a believer mistakenly, he has to fast 2 months. So it's a mandatory. And the like, to fulfill those mandatory is takes precedence over doing optional fasting. Because Allah loves subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill the commands more than He loves to do sunnah. So whenever you have mandatory and you have sunnah, make the mandatory. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in Hadith al-Qudsi, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. You never get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in action, through action, more beloved to Him than what He enjoins you. He enjoins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the action because He loves more. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِ لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ وُضُ. Had I not to be fearing, to make heavy and hard on my ummah, I would have commanded them to make siwak in every time they make wudu. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the importance of making siwak. What's siwak in English? Yes? Toothpaste. Toothbrush. Barakallahu feek. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he doesn't fear to make hard on his ummah, to make difficult on them, he would have order to make siwak every time the Muslim is making wudu. So he didn't make it a mandatory. The ulama, they say, it is the sunnah act of worship, making siwak, is a sunnah, but it has the same reward of a mandatory. It has the same reward of a mandatory. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla command to make siwak every time you make wudu, the reward Allah would have given you, the same reward Allah is giving to you when you make siwak, when you make wudu, even if it's not mandatory on you. Because that's the position of this act of worship, is a mandatory. Is it the status of a mandatory, but was not made mandatory. To make it easy for the ummah. So, any mandatory. If Allah forbid something, subhanahu, avoid it. Allah command, do it. That's more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than struggling in the sunnah. Mother is calling you. You are in salah, sunnah. She's calling you. You have to cut the salah and answer to your mom, to your father. Why? Because answering them is a mandatory. Yarhamukallah. Answering your parent, answering their call is a mandatory. And this salah is sunnah. a female, a woman has a husband, she is fasting sunnah, and he's in need of her, she must break the fasting. Because answering his call in this case is a mandatory. And her fasting is sunnah. Rather, she is not even allowed to fast first without his permission. Because that is his right. Some Muslim sister who live in certain environment, I don't want to mention that environment, they may not want to hear like this. She has to obey her husband. She cannot fast without his permission. The sunnah fasting. She cannot leave the house without his permission. Some Muslimat, some of them may be students of knowledge. Her hair may get blow up. How? This is the command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, a Muslim sister who may be expected to be from the du'at, who calling people to Allah, may say, "Me, I don't ask my husband permission to leave." How you don't ask? This is the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I fast when I want. I'm not a slave for him. I fast when I want. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If you are not a slave, who told you you're a slave? Obeying your husband is a slavery. She go to the Walmart or Kroger or warehouse, Amazon, 8 hours, she obeys the orders given by the boss or what they call it. These 8 hours, she cannot resist and get offended when somebody tell, listen to the boss. Yes, sir, boss, they may say that. But obey your husband. Allah command that. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she has resistance. MashaAllah. Hijab, nice. First row of the salah, good. How about this one? Yeah, this is ibadah. This is ibadah. A believing woman, a believing man, if a command of Allah is there, have no choice but to accept it. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. If Allah command and His Messenger command, believing men and women have no choice to disobey. A true believer, any command from the command of Allah, say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey it. No rejection, no resistance, no arrogance, no objection. That's for the true believers, not for those who are partial believers. When the religion goes with the desire, what's convenient, mashallah, the religion is beautiful. When it goes to what's not convenient for the individual, for the soul, oh, the religion has, there's issue. I disagree with that. Astaghfirullah. How you disagree with Allah? So, this is a religion. A believer accept Fajr prayer is 2 rak'ah, Isha is 4, Maghrib is 3. No one can object. A believer, the same thing, a believer shouldn't object any of the rules of Allah. Whether it's a hijab, whether it's a polygamy, whether it's as long it is being done the way Allah legislated it. No objection to the command of Allah. And anyone who object what Allah legislated, expose himself to the anger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if anyone of us find himself resistance what Allah legislated, we have to cure our sickness. We need treatment before death comes to us. We need to fix our hearts. There is illness, sickness in our hearts. Wallahi. Wallahi, no doubt. The more your heart is pure, the more you submit to Allah's command, inward and outward. And you're even happy with that. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلم وتسلم. الله swear, حلف سبحانه وتعالى الله that they are not believing, they are not believing, Allah said, until they come to you, O the Messenger of Allah, concerning that which they deliver, and they accept what you judge, your judgment, your rule, inward and outward. They surrender it, they submit to it. Unless they do that, they are not believing it. Allah says it. So husband and wife has an issue, brother's business partner has a problem, friends have an issue, scholars have an issue, until they go, they take their difference to the Quran and Sunnah, and they accept whatever is there, they didn't believe it. Allah says that. So, to accept the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you didn't understand any of the commands of Allah, you have to have the base, you have to have foundation. Allah is the all-wise. Allah is truth. And He only command truth, He only legislate truth. So acceptance must be there. But then seek knowledge and figure out why Allah legislate this, why Allah command this, to increase knowledge, not to approve or to disapprove. You have to approve whatever Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, azza wa jal. So this is an issue happening. Some Muslim sisters, mashallah, good in some area, they cannot hear you, obey your husband in good. Even their own father advises them, obey your husband. Obey your husband, what it means? It doesn't mean to obey him in sin. And it doesn't mean to obey him in that which you are not able. Obey him in that which is not disobedience to Allah, and you are able. And that goes back to you. You're the one who benefit. Allah command us something. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam command us something. It is us who benefit. Not Allah azza wa jal, and not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is us who benefit. Allah is sufficient, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's getting his benefit anyway. He gets his reward for enjoying good and forbidding the evil. So it is us who benefit if we obey Allah, and it's us who suffer if we disobey Allah. Man amila salihan, what Allah said, man amila salihan, fali nafsi, wa man asa'a, fa'alayha. Whoever does righteously, it is for his own self. It is he who benefits from it. It's for him. Wa man asa'a, fa'alayha. Whoever does bad action, it's against him. So, to understand that way, so Muslim sister, obey your husband in good. Respect him. Don't challenge him. Don't be confused with the ideology in some countries, some cultures, who make men and women compete one another. Oh, you have to take care, wash the dishes, your time, I wash my time. Or my way or highway. Where am I going to the highway? I want to stay here. La, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create both male and female. Okay? And He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He the one who created us, and He the one who has the command. Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. The creation is for Allah and the command is for Allah. If I believe, if you believe, and we have to, Allah is the one who created us. We have to believe and accept Allah is the one who given us commands. Don't you understand, if you work for a company and they give you salary, it is them who should command you the time they give you the salary for, right or wrong? Yes. Allah create us, provide us, protect us, give us everything. We have protected from every calamity out there. Every second. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has right to command us, to give us orders. Do this, don't do this. Oh Allah, we obey you. While we are very happy with it. Because of the sound aqidah, we're doing that only for our favor. Allah is the all-wise. Allah is just, subhanah. Allah is the kind. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, He command us just to bless us, not to punish us. And He deserves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill His command. Yes. So, al-muhim, if your mother call you while you are in sunnah prayer, and she knows you are sunnah prayer, she call you, cut the salah and answer to your mom. You know what happened to Juraj? The righteous man, a good worshipper, who his mother called him while he was in sunnah prayer, and he continued his salah, what happened to him? She make dua again, you see. What she said happened to him. He realized later on, after his masjid was destroyed, he was humiliated, negative thing was said about him. He realized it's because he prayed, he continued praying, sunnah prayer instead of answering to his mother. So he suffered a lot. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that. So to obey the parents, and to obey who you should obey, Muslim leader, obey him in good. Those who have authority on you, you obey them in good. The Muslim leader, you obey. Before that, you obey the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You obey the Muslim leader. You obey the parents. Muslim wife, obey her husband. And whoever you have authority on you, you obey them. To make life system. طيب. The next hadith, ما يجتنبه في العشر من أراد الأضحية. What he should avoid in the 10, whoever wishes, whoever wants to sacrifice. Whoever wants to sacrifice animal. What kind of animal? What kind of animal to sacrifice? Horses? Donkeys? What? The sheep, the goat, the cow, the camel. Hassan, tabarakallah fiqh. The sheep, the goat, male and female. Cow, male and female. Camel, male and female. The sheep. The male, what do you call it? Yes? Ram. Female, what do you call it? Sheep. Goat. Female, what do you call it? Male, what do you call it? The goat. Yes? He goat, she goat. Here language, English language isn't done, it's not strong. In Arabic it has it. Mada. And also the cow and the camel. So these are animals to sacrifice. The Sheikh say, ما يجتنبه أي الإنسان what he should avoid في العشر in the 10, means the 10 of first 10 of the Hijjah, من أراد الأضحية whoever wants to sacrifice. عن أم سلامة رضي الله عنها أم المؤمنين عن أم سلامة أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إذا رأيتم هلال ذي الحجة وأراد أحدكم أن يضحي فليمسك عن شعره وأظفاره حتى يضحي. إذا رأيتم هلال ذي الحجة, if you see the crescent of the الحجة, وأراد أحدكم أن يضحي, and one of you wants to sacrifice, فليمسك عن شعره, he should withhold from his hair, وأظفاره, and his from his nails, حتى يضحي, until he sacrifices. So, if you intend to slaughter, to sacrifice, which is the best action in the day of Eid? The best action in the day of Eid is to sacrifice animal. Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا عَمِلَ ابْنُ آدَمْ يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ إِهْرَاقِ الدَّمِ. The son of Adam doesn't do the day of Nahr any action better than مَذَا إِهْرَاقِ الدَّمِ. Spilling blood means slaughtering animal. So to slaughter animal. And to do it with your own hands. To do it with your own hands. If you are not at least to see the animal being slaughtered. So whoever wants that, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he should stay away from, he shouldn't cut his hair and his nails. How about if somebody already did that and still he wants to a sacrifice? For instance, a Muslim now entered the masjid, he didn't know that, he here now, or even he make a decision now because of the virtue of slaughtering. He said, I have to do that. Okay, but he already cut his nail this today. Was worth from the 10. Will he do continue slaughter or he stop? He continues slaughter. Is there any expiation? Nothing is on him. In this hadith, the Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that, said that whoever wants, if the crescent of the Hijjah, if you see, when you see the crescent of the Hijjah and one of you wants to slaughter, he should mala withhold from his hair, meaning he shouldn't cut his hair or and his nails until he slaughter. وفي رواية فلا يمس من شعره وبشرته شيئا. This hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. The Shaykh said, الحديث دليل على أنه إذا دخلت العشر وأراد الإنسان أن يضحي فإنه لا يأخذ من شعره ولا من أظفاره ولا من بشرته شيئا إلى أن يذبح أضحيته، فإن كان له أكثر من أضحية جاز له الأخذ بعد ذبح الأولى. The Shaykh said, this hadith is a proof that when the ten interest, means the first interest of the Hijjah, and the person wants to slaughter, he shouldn't cut his hair, his nails, and his bashara. What's bashara? Basharati shayan. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْخُذُ مِنْ شَعْرِ وَلَا مِنْ أَطْفَالِ وَلَا مِنْ بَشَرَتِ from his skin. Jazakallahu khayra bawaya. إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَذْبَحْ أُضْحِيَتُهُ until he slaughter his udhiya. Until he slaughter his udhiya. When the time that udhiya, the first time the udhiya can be slaughtered, the sacrifice can be made, when it is? Yes, the day of Arafah, la after the Eid prayer. After the Eid prayer. Anyone who does before Eid is not udhiya. It's going to be just a normal sadaqah. So make sure to be after the Eid prayer is performed. The Shaykh said, how about if the person is slaughtering more than one animal? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, last Eid, how many animals he slaughtered? 100. 100. 63 by his hand. Direct his hand. And the rest, Ali radiallahu anhu, on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if you have more than one animal slaughtered, okay, you are, let us say, two animal, one in the morning and one the evening because you don't have enough time. Will you, can you, are you allowed to cut your nails after you slaughter the first animal, or you have to wait until you slaughter the two or whatever animal you slaughter? The Shaykh here said, جَازَ لَهُ الْأَخْذُ بَعْدَ ذَبْحِ الْأُولَى. Whoever slaughtered more than one animal, is permissible for him to cut his hair, his nail, after slaughtering the first one. Okay? After slaughtering the first one. So as long as you slaughtered the animal, even one of it, then you can cut your hair. Then the Shaykh said, وَهَذَا النَّهْيُ يَخُصُّ صَاحِبَ الْأُضْحِيَةِ لِقَوْلِهُ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُضَحِيَ فَلَا يَعُمُّ الزَّوْجَةَ وَلَا الْأَوْلَادَ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يُشْرِكَهُمْ مَعَهُ فِي الثَّوَابِ. This prohibition of not cutting the hair or the nails, the Shaykh said, is restricted to the person who making the udhiyah. Because Prophet ﷺ said, and he wants to sacrifice. So this doesn't apply to the wife or to the children if he wants them to share the reward with him. So someone, a father may slaughter the animal on behalf of him only. Or he may slaughter on behalf of his wife, of his family members, his children. In this case, he is slaughtering. He wants others to share the reward with him. Do they have to also stay away from cutting their hairs or their nails? No. The rule only applies to the one who sacrificed him. Is that clear? Then Shaykh said, وَمَنْ ضَحَى عَنْ غَيْرِهِ بِوَصِيَّةٍ أَوْ وَكَالَةٍ فَلَا يَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ أَخْذُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ أَوْ ظَفْرِهِ أَوْ بَشَرَتِهِ لِأَنَّ الْأُضْحِيَةَ لَيْسَتْ لَهُ. Whoever sacrifice on behalf of another by a will he make, or by representing him, he appointed him, it's not forbidden him to cut his hair, his nails, his skin, because the sacrifice is not for him. It's for the other person. So, if Ali radiallahu anhu, for instance, you know, in that case, so if one of you, the day of the Eid, he is traveling. He's a truck driver. He assigned one of us who is here to slaughter on behalf of him. That one he assigned on behalf of him, who is not slaughtering animal for himself, can cut his hair. That the rule of not cutting hair doesn't apply to him. It applies only to the one who giving, who making the sacrifice. Then the Sheikh said, وَمَنْ أَخَذَ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ الْمُبَاحِ الْمُبَاحِ أَخْذُهُ أو ظفره أول العشر لعدم إرادته الأضحية ثم أرادها في أثناء العشر أمسك من حين الإرادة. Whoever cuts his hair, the permissible hair or nails, he cut the beginning of the 10 days because he doesn't want to slaughter, he didn't intend to slaughter. Then in the 10 days he intend, he make the mind to slaughter, he will refrain from cutting his hair and his nails from that time. Is that clear? So someone, he didn't intend to sacrifice until now. For instance, this evening, he wasn't going to slaughter. He wasn't planning. He come to the class, he hear the benefit of slaughtering, he is able, he said, okay, let me do it. But he already cut his hair. In this evening, nothing is on him. What is required is, from now on, until he is slaughtered, he stay away from cutting his hair and his nails. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.